Okay.
So I'm gonna reconvene the public hearing portion. We are on the Golden Eagle Charter School use permit. And we're at a point where I'm gonna open up the public hearing. So project proponents, is there anybody representing the school? So please state your name and your address.
Hi, my name is Shelley Blakely. My address is 115 North Adams Drive in Mount Shasta. And I'm the executive director for Golden Eagle Charter School. And I'm the founding director of the school. We've been around for 20 years. And I'm just here to answer any questions about the school and to let you know that our project manager, Nick Trover, is on the Zoom call along with some other consultants for questions from them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Through the chair?
Yes.
Do we want to clarify that we're not taking comments via Zoom?
Yeah, I think that's on the agenda, but...
Yeah, but I just don't, sometimes I wonder if people know that.
Know that, okay, yeah, there's no comments via Zoom. However, I think if we need to ask a clarifying question to the consultant, we'll allow that.
Okay.
But there's no public comment. Okay, so, so project proponents or supporters. Let's see. Okay, so, John Carr, if I said that properly. So,
John Carr, 217 North Adams Drive.
Thank you.
Can you spell your last name, one R or two Rs? Your last, two, okay, thank you.
Okay.
I am a proponent of the project. My wife and I are raising our granddaughter, and she goes to school there. We both volunteer there during the school hours. It has the potential to be a beautiful facility. It's going to bring workers into the area. It's going to be a nice little economic boom for a little while that project is going on. Lord knows, here in the North State, we need to create jobs and funds wherever we can, within reason. There are certain concerns that I would have as a parent for the project. And I think those will be mitigated during the development stages. For instance, I as a parent would like to see a turnout lane when we go in there, and I haven't seen a map of the finished project, so maybe there's one on the ground. I as a parent would like to see a project like this partially powered by solar on the roof of the project. I think it's a wonderful new thing that we can do in our lives these days. As a former realtor down in Shasta County for 4 years, I sold property near schools in Shasta County. Some people are concerned about noise and the impact, and that's certainly a reasonable concern. At the same time, I've never had a client come back to me and say, gosh, we sure are sorry that we bought next to that school. They find out later on that there's more quiet time there than there would be if there was a neighborhood with the potential for barking dogs and yelling children. I mean, we love to hear them yell, but not in certain circumstances. So I would recommend that the County Planning Commission approve this project. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Let's see, so Mary Roach.
Good morning, my name is Mary Roach, and I live at 217 North Adams Drive. I'm John Carr's wife.
Could you spell your last name?
R-O-A-C-H.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Mary Roach. Like I said, I am the grandmother and adoptive mother of an eight-year-old girl who attends second grade, as John mentioned. And we have became guardians around 8 months, when she was 8 months old, due to very unfortunate circumstances. Our concerns in providing an educational experience for her were based upon finding a community of open-minded, creative, nurturing, educational staff, and like-minded parents. Our daughter's main concern was in finding friends in an environment which did not allow bullying, as she had been bullied by kids in her preschool and TK prior to that. She was bullied for being adopted. Sequoia has attended kindergarten at Golden Eagle since kindergarten and is thriving both socially and as well as academically. Golden Eagle Charter School is an incredible place to send our child. With a challenging curriculum, outdoor science in abundance, creative electives which include music, art, computer science, theater, dance, sewing, gardening, engineering, and cooperative play, making them better stewards and citizens in this world. The staff and families work together to create a safe environment to work on each unique individual's social and learning needs, as well as teaching the kids the very vital art of conflict resolution and respecting others. Moving to the new campus at WA Barre at the beginning of the 2023-24 school year has underscored the strength of our community, bringing the elementary grades TK through 4 and the middle school grades 5 through 8 together on one campus. We are a proud community and realize the profound impact of having our students share space together as we grow in numbers. We envision being able to continue to let our students be a part of the Golden Eagle family on this incredible site, but must be allowed to proceed in good faith with passage of the use permit authorizing us to build a school which has facilities that can accommodate the needs of the current student population with room to grow. Furthermore, our expansion would be enhanced with the addition of our high school students and faculty family on a single campus. We have enjoyed the experience of watching our kids thrive and dream of being a part of the augmentation of Golden Eagle and sharing our mission statement of respect for individuals' needs with a relatively small population of students. Our school is unique, our staff is engaged and happy, and our kids are free to be individuals. I thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. I implore you to consider the benefit of approving the use permit for expansion of our school. Our kids do well in this wholesome, nurturing, and engaging environment. More children, as well as our greater community, will benefit from the future opportunities afforded by this well-planned out academic environment. Thank you very much.
Great. I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce his last name, but Michael Keelich. Am I close?
Keelich.
Okay.
It's kind of a hard one. I go by Mr. K.
Mr. K.
So I'm also representing 201 North Adams, so we just happen to have a lot of North Adams on here. Michael Keelich's the name.
Could you spell your last name, please?
K-I-E-L-I-C-H.
Thank you.
So thank you for having me. I am a teacher. I teach the TKK classroom as well as outdoor science at Golden Eagle. I'm here to represent the other teachers as well as staff who can't be present because they're working today. Just a little brief summary of our school. We're the largest charter school in the South County. We provide services for both independent study, which is kind of called homeschool, as well as what I teach is what's called the blended program. Students are there 4 days a week, and then on Fridays they do homeschool from home. I'm gonna have to put my glasses on. If you have not seen the new location, it is absolutely beautiful, and it's kind of a dream of all of us teachers, especially because we are very in line with teaching environmental stewardship within our curriculum. Currently our high school is separate, as has been stated, from the location where we're at. We'd like to change that. The strength of our school is really our community. We are a strong community, as that's also been stated. Schools truly are the community place for our towns, in this case Mount Shasta. So I'm going to go on to why we need a new building. The overwhelming concern is space. So I'm going to give you an example of, for now I'm in the auditorium. So what used to be called the church sanctuary, I'm in the auditorium now. Because the class size was so small, the class size I was going to have was 250 square feet. But think about trying to teach TKK in a 250 square foot space.
TKK, with book, what is that?
Oh, yeah, it's called Transitional Kindergarten and Kindergarten.
TKK.
4 and 5 year olds.
Okay.
Bouncy, jumpy, you know. So, 250 square feet with books and desks and all that. So I was given a space in the sanctuary for a temporary space, which works better. But it's also not optimal because I'm in a shared space. Like yesterday, music was in there. While I'm trying to teach class, there was some music and drumming was going on. So trying to teach while drumming was going on is quite challenging. So it also creates a lot of logistical challenges for us as staff, which is every year I've kind of had to move rooms because as numbers of, am I, we almost time?
Yeah, just give us your closing, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so my closing statement would be having a space for all TKK 12 students would be unique for South County. There's no more beautiful and suitable location than the one on WA Barr Road. Please help support our local community by approving this building with as little delay as possible. We sure need it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Dustin Reif.
Hello, Dustin Reif, R-I-E-F as in Frank, 15617 Sherwood Road, Weed, California. I am a current board member and parent, and my family has moved a number of times, and trying to find a community like this one has not happened. This is the fifth school my children have been in, and it is the most loving environment we can imagine. My children are excelling. I have third graders who are learning at the fifth and sixth grade level because they have the opportunity and diversity of education and the environment that is provided. This is not an opportunity that is offered in any of the traditional school settings that we've been in other states or even here in California. We were seeking an environment that allowed them to excel differently. My children's favorite class is outdoor science. This campus allows them to be outdoors. It allows the kids to be in the environment and do things like actually learning how to camp and learning how to care for the environment and learning about all the things that we as a society have failed for a long time. And so I think it's very important that we support this project to move it forward as it is an environment and should be the new standard in how our children are taught. And so that being said, there was a couple of issues about noise, and one of them came from the bed and breakfast. And I found it quite interesting that the school hours are from 8 to 2:30. Which in the hospitality environment during the week, that is kind of the same time that they're doing cleaning. Everybody checks out or they go and do their activities, and then school's out at 2:30, right? Everybody goes home. Playgrounds are not active, so there's a very minimal impact, and I agree with all of the staff comments associated with that. And so one of the other things about the school was, there's a strong caring aspect that the teachers put in that has not allowed for bullying that is seen at some of the other school districts, including online and in person. And so that's also very important. And to continue that and offer that same opportunity to more kids, I think, is important. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that Megan Tracy? Can't see the last.
Give me a second so I can pass this out.
I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Megan Tracy, and I'm the Special Education Program Manager at Golden Eagle Charter School. I do not live on North Adams Street. I live on 617 Berry Street in Mount Shasta. And I wrote a letter because, while I hate public speaking, well, in front of grown-ups, I'm okay with little kids, but I don't like speaking in front of grown-ups. So I wrote a letter in support of this new expansion. In my 20 years of working in education and almost 10 years at Golden Eagle, I wanted to paint you a picture of the enchanting and necessary school we have become. When we discuss students and standards, we tend to say that students are working at such and such grade level, but what if they aren't? What if they are in math, but they aren't in reading? What if they need some extra social skills, support, and work better in a small class size? How about the students that have anxiety and work best at home with teacher-supported parents educating them? In this day and age, we have a multitude of learning styles and learning needs. At Golden Eagle, we see a need and we meet it. We personalize what students and families need to succeed in their educational endeavors. As a parent of a Golden Eagle student who wanted to graduate early and move on to college, we were supported to accomplish this goal. I've seen both sides of the learning model from the parent and staff perspective, and this is what our county continues to need. If we are not allowed to move forward on this expansion project, potential students may miss out on ukulele with Miss Ling, drama with Bennett, or art class with Lynn, as well as the opportunity to personalize their education. Our high school population is made up of a diverse group of students who all came to us for different reasons. We strive to meet their needs and focus on moving them forward both academically and socially. In the current setting, there have not been any demonstrations of violence or behaviors that would impact the surrounding neighborhoods. While we can never guarantee 100% safety in any situation, we work to ensure that our students, staff, and surrounding community are safe. When we say we meet needs, that is exactly what we do. Golden Eagle is a community that supports all students and staff. We don't all have one job. Sometimes the school director is shoveling snow off of walkways at 7 a.m. This is who we are. We do what we need to ensure that needs are met, students are safe, and learning is taking place. We need a new building to continue to accomplish this. In recent history, I was listening in on a board meeting for another school district when a teacher at a local high school took the podium to discuss current concerns. At one point, he stated, "Whatever Golden Eagle is doing, we need to be doing." Thank you for taking the time, Thank you for taking the time to listen and reflect on my words. Please come visit us if you would like to see the magic in person. We would love to share our joy of learning with you.
Okay. Any other project proponents? Okay, so I am going to move on to project opponents. And I have a Tammy Beal.
Good morning.
Hi.
Tammy Beal. I live at 4721 North Old Stage Road in Mount Shasta, California.
Okay. Thank you.
And I respectfully oppose the permit. I am the superintendent of Mount Shasta Union School District, and we are 1.9 miles away from this school. We are thriving right now. We're up 46 students from last year. But I'm here in the spirit of education and being collaborative in our small community of 3,200 people. We have both recipients of a community school grant, both Golden Eagle and Mount Shasta Union School District. And the idea from the state of California is to share community resources. And so by having two separate districts do this, it splinters the resources that we have available. And so I am just here to speak to Golden Eagle and all of you that with this permit, it really does divide the community and it splinters our resources. And I am here to want to collaborate with Golden Eagle and use our existing resources and infrastructure rather than a new building. And I really think the community at large would appreciate that. and just want to reach out how we could best serve our community together and do so. We also do this with Mount Shasta Union High School, or Siskiyou Union High School District. The high school is a separate district from us, but we reach out and do shared services. So in the spirit of education, I would like to do that and oppose this permit in the spirit of education. Thank you.
Thank you. David O'Shaughnessy.
Hi. Top of the morning, guys. You'll forgive me, I'm going to read. I've got a bit of an issue remembering stuff, so
okay.
We've prepared stuff here. My name is David O'Shaughnessy. This is my wife, Chris. Together, we own Mount Shasta Ranch Bed and Breakfast.
Okay.
The ranch was...
Could you state your address, please?
Located at 1008 WA Bar.
Okay,
we're next doors to the charter school. Last year, we celebrated our 100-year anniversary of the building and have been a bed and breakfast for over 30 years. In that time, we've had great relationships with what was the church next door. The charter school wraps around 50% of our property, and our concerns of their proposed project raises many concerns, not only for us, but for Mount Shasta as a community. Our concerns on growth plans do not address the ability of our community to support their aggressive growth. Mount Shasta Unified School District added 25 students last year. Here it's a booming year this year, but I don't think on anybody's scale that with seniors graduating and leaving, shows much growth in our schooling in Mount Shasta. It's turning into a home of retired people. So to meet the aggressive growth plans of the charter school next door, they're going to need to cannibalize the public schools to feed their project. The charter school currently has combined classes, I guess first and second grade, third and fourth, whatever it is. There's two, but there's four students per grade, about average. The growth will allow separate classrooms for each grade, and class sizes will exceed 20 students per classroom. So the intimacy that the parents are enjoying now with a teacher with four students is going to go away. And finding quality teachers to fill this new growth is also going to be a challenge for them. North State Charter School has just taken the classrooms that Golden Eagle vacated when they moved next door to our property. This means Mount Shasta's shrinking student population will be divided by three businesses, all vying for our limited student base. Our public schools are open for business now Monday through Friday, most days. The charter school next door is 4 days a week. The Fridays is a homeschool day. And last week we had a little snow event. The school closed, but our public school remained open because most parents don't have the luxury of staying home when their kids are needed. I'm sorry.
It's
time. Oh gosh. I apologize. I have quite a bit of other information that I'll share with you.
What?
Did you say it was time?
Time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you just close? We need a time.
Well, you guys have an important decision here making this property really change from what it is today. We would implore you to think hard on this project. It is their land. And they enjoy to have the ability to enjoy their property, but this
is going to affect our business, the noise level and the traffic.
Thank you.
And sorry, your name is again?
Chris.
K-K-R-I-S.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Kay Scoville.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Kay Scoville. My address is 5808 Deer Creek Road, Mount Shasta, California, and I'm speaking as a concerned citizen. At this point, I'm not completely against the project, so I kind of hesitated with the pose, but I do have some really serious concerns, especially for the traffic and evacuation. If there, if you've noticed on their map that North Shasta Ranch Road and South Ranch Road, those are all homes back in there. They feed out to the WA Bar. That is a four-way stop there, with Green coming into Shasta Ranch Road and WA Bar crossing over it. That's just at the corner where this previous speaker spoke about his bed and breakfast. And just beyond that is where the school site is. My concern is that if there was a fire, and there has been a fire up on Rainbow Ridge, and if there's an evacuation that has to happen quickly, if it's during school hours while there are a lot of school children there, you're going to have a problem evacuating quickly. And I base that on Mount Shasta Elementary School has 215 students that are there every day. And I thought this was an independent school, but I'm hearing now that they're there 4 days a week. So if there's an emergency where they have to leave quickly, there's going to be a problem. At Mount Shasta Elementary School, we have a traffic flow pattern that goes up Alma, and so the parents have a train that comes down Jesse, over to Cedar where they pick up their children. They go up Alma and out. And I, as a citizen, have ended up at that corner where it's Alma and Pine Street that goes to the hospital. That four-way stop there becomes really traffic jammed, and I go, oh my, I did it wrong again, you know, to avoid it during the start times and let off times. And then the other area that's a problem for the MSE is Jesse Street, where people are coming down Pine Street, they turn to get onto Jesse to go pick up. We have that flow pattern in the school in Mount Shasta, but out there on WA Bar, there is no flow pattern. It's simply WA Bar. So the flow pattern happens within the site as per the proposal. And so they don't have buses coming. We have a school bus that reduces the number of students being picked up by their parents. So if you, and this is a large, is proposed to be a larger school, 225 students compared to 215. If I had realized, I only found out about this yesterday, I would have gone and timed how long our traffic jam is at MSE. And also, I haven't even mentioned what we have at Sisson. Okay. So my concern is evacuation.
Thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we have one just comment from a David Morrow.
My name is David Morrow, M-A-U-R-O. I live at 1724 North Shasta Ranch Road, which is in the Shasta Ranch neighborhood that Kay was just describing. I've lived there and my family's been there since the 70s. And we have two students that go to Golden Eagle currently. It's been I've learned a little bit about the expansion plans more in the last week than we knew when we advocated for the school to purchase this property originally. And so we have some concerns. I couldn't choose support or oppose on that card. I just feel like there's some conditions that you guys might want to entertain adding to the permit that I think would really help solve both the issues that the neighborhood is concerned with, but also still support expanding the school. To start with, this school is great. We have our two children there for a real reason, and we don't want to see the school lose that character of that intimate class size that has been alluded to by the staff. We just think it's a wonderful school. We wouldn't choose any other in the district right now. We don't want to see that change due to the expansion, but we understand their need for growth and that they do need some more space, and that they have, you know, a lot of really good reasons and some strategy behind that. In supporting that, I wanted to know that if they limited the occupancy to the school term only from fall to spring, is that a conditional approval that the county or that the planning commission could put on this permit change? I think that would alleviate some of the overlap with the recreational season, particularly with the bed and breakfast and their busy season and their events. If that occupancy was only limited to the actual, you know, the fall to spring term. So that was an option. The transportation plan, I think, is a little bit flawed because I don't think it really observed the traffic flow during school day. I think with any expansion, there must be a second driveway required so that they have a one-way in, one-way out circulation onto WA Bar. I think that only makes sense for fire safety, for drop-off, and then also to alleviate some of the congestion at the nearby intersection. That four-way stop can get congested, especially during that busier pickup and drop-off time. And having that one-way flow would prevent that from queuing up and backing up into that intersection. I think that the conditional use permit should be approved, but limiting the site of the new building to the southern half of the property, which would keep it screened and somewhat distant from the other, from the rest of the neighborhood. I think that would increase having that visual separation and also the noise buffering there, rather than any development on the back half of the northern parcel of the property, which is, that would impact the neighborhood much more. I think it would be great to have a condition in the permit that increased the visual and noise buffering from the property on the north side. That was discussed a little bit earlier. There is vegetative buffer along the north side with the bed and breakfast right now. It may be in conflict with the fire barrier separations. I think there should be a condition, if they have to eliminate that vegetative barrier, that they must add a noise buffer of some other type. There are several other varieties that you could include.
Okay.
So, running out of time.
Yeah, your time.
I have a lot more, but all I can say is I just really think that, while we generally support the school and its expansion, I just want it to be done carefully and make sure that it's sustainable with the community, knowing that we are having a drop in enrollment in Siskiyou County right now, and I just want to make sure that they're being careful with that, and really appreciate everybody's time.
Thank you. Okay, so I don't see any other project.
Through the chair,
I've been thinking about that.
Okay.
We have a bunch of letters. I mean, we got 200 pages of letters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel comfortable just reading a letter. I think that put us in a position to read all 200.
Yep.
It is in the record. I have read her comments.
Okay.
I've read all the comments,
okay,
as I believe our commission has.
Yeah.
Yep. So they're up for public record,
yep,
for anybody that would like to hear them. But I just don't want to single out one public comment and not all of them.
Sure.
So appreciate that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Is there... So that was project opponents. Is there a rebuttal from the project proponent on anything? Need to approach the podium, please.
I would just like to address
name again.
Shelley Blakely.
Thank you.
Need my address again?
No.
I would just like to address two points. One is that we're not trying to grow the school. That's not our intention. We've never tried to grow the school since we've opened. We have 440 students across Siskiyou County right now, and some of them come to our centers in Myrica and Mount Shasta for various classes. We're not looking to grow the school, but when you're going, we are definitely at capacity in the buildings we have. Our high school is across town. We'd like to lease a building over there that's not suitable to them. We really would like to get suitable facilities for our high school students and get everybody in Mount Shasta together. And so that's my first point. My second point is, as far as for the vegetation barrier for the neighbors, definitely would like to keep that. I'm also concerned with fire. I've also had the subdivision behind us contact me and ask me to cut down the vegetation by the road that's extended from Ream, because that's their fire exit. So where our property hits that road right there, they are, you know, concerned about fire exit. And so, you know, they've asked me to cut down that vegetation. So happy to do whatever we need to do. Fire safety is like my main concern. Safety is our main concern. Those are my 2 points. If you have any questions.
Great. Thank you. So with that, I'm going to close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Veal.
Does charter schools take funds from the public school?
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm.
They do. And how is that done? How does it?
I don't know how it's done.
Commissioner.
Yeah. So.
What's that?
ADA.
Oh, ADA.
So whatever funding goes to Eagle Charter School, if that school wasn't there, then that would go to public schools, correct?
Well,
if the school was at the
top. But what we're getting into here has nothing to do, that funding we're talking about has nothing to do with CEQA.
Yep.
Period. That's a political call above our pay grade. So I'm going to put that to bed, right?
But I hear that comment.
Right. You know, that's, we're not here to decide where funding does or doesn't go.
I'm just doing clarification.
Right.
Yep. We have to stick to that CEQA checklist, which is the environmental checklist.
Yep.
Period.
Any other questions, though, on the...
No.
Commissioner Fowle.
So we closed public comment.
Yep.
Clear?
I did.
Okay. So, Ms. Haley, a couple questions. A question came up in one of the letters specifically referencing the use permit for the church,
mm-hmm.
and the associated school run by the church. I remember that use permit. I happened to be here when that was done. You were here in 96?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, you've been on here almost as long as me, Tony.
19 years.
I don't, that was 27, 28 years ago.
What was?
96.
I said 19 years I've been here.
Okay. I did not find that use permit in my extensive collection in my file cabinet. It was referenced in one of the comments of a condition in that use permit that should the church close, so would the school.
Mm-hmm.
Can you confirm or deny that condition in that existing use permit?
Yes, so use permit 96-03, the project description on the issuance of the permit says the Evangelical Free Church of Mount Shasta requests approval to allow a private K-8 school facility for up to 60 students to be operated in conjunction with their existing church. And condition of approval number 10, verbatim, in the event church operations cease, school operations must also cease, which is a big reason why we're rescinding that, you know.
Okay, I get that. So, the fact that Golden Eagle purchased the land, that's fine, no problem with that. Golden Eagle operating a school on the land, that's where the issue is, because that activity mm-hmm. by Golden Eagle has never been approved.
Which is why we're rectifying the issue.
So is staff considering this
mm-hmm.
a pre-existing non-conforming use, which I think would be a stretch?
Mm-hmm. I'm not considering it a non-conforming use because it's allowable
via a CUP in both of those zoning districts, right? So it would be non-conforming if it wasn't allowable either by right or via CUP.
But we don't have an approved CUP for the activity currently taking place on the property. So rather than come to us before school begins operation and get the CUP, approved, and then begin the school began operation, and it seems like they're now coming in begging for forgiveness and can we get in compliance? Am I missing something in that assessment? It's not that I don't support what Golden Eagle's doing, but we had a use permit that became, yes, it runs with the land, but the school can only operate if it's done by the church. The existing school is not being administrated by the church.
Yeah, and perhaps that is a way to look at it, and, you know, thinking out loud, going back to the non-conforming use comment, you could also potentially interpret it that way in the sense that the school operations have always continued, right? So I know additionally when we think about use permits, sometimes, and our non-conforming use section, article, I think it's 25 or 26 in our code, speaks to at the time a use stops. It has to be stopped consecutively for 2 years prior to that use ceasing. So there's also that weird.
But in this case, the valid school is only if it's operated by the church.
And if there's church possession.
But we're dealing with a clean slate.
No, we're not. Golden Eagle is already operating there and has been operating there, well, but and are now asking for a CUP.
I know, but I'm saying if they weren't operating there and they came to the application,
then I would not have be raising this question. Yeah. I'm raising this question because the activity that the CUP is being asked for is already occurring, rather than get the CUP and then begin the activity. Essentially, it'd be if a asphalt batch plant started up on some parcel and is in operation for a year, and then come, they get slapped on the wrist, hey, you're out of compliance, and come ask for a CUP from us. The apples to apples. Counselor.
I'll just say the traditional definition of a non-conforming use is where you have a use of the land that's legal, and at some point a board of supervisors passes some ordinance that would make the use in that location illegal, but usually with zoning. But because that use was pre-existing at a time when it was legal, it's considered non-conforming and allowed to continue. I would not say this is the same situation as that. It's almost backwards.
Well, that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around.
I need to go back here.
I'm looking at 15162 of CEQA and trying to address the submitted concern, which I believe is valid, in that in order to do the addendum, the determination needs to be made that a change in an activity based upon a previous CUP is deemed to be non-substantial. Parts of this, I would concur with staff in my definition of substantial. It doesn't meet that tier. However, what causes me some pause is the construction of the 23,800 square foot building. And at least in this, the electronic documentation that was sent to us, no location given, ingress, egress, access to that building, no plan of the building, which theoretically I can legitimately see someone from the public raising concern that, hey, that is a substantial change, which according to 15162 would potentially trigger a new assessment. Mm-hmm. Now, I appreciate that staff has gone in and redone that, redone the noise. I share the concern that has been brought up with ingress egress as for through travel for mm-hmm. safety. I'll come back to that. But can you enlighten me on the thought process that staff had that arrived at a non-substantial determination on this CUP?
Mm-hmm. So it's a little wonky, right? Because we don't really have standards in place with our zoning on square footage increases and things like that. But, you know, the building structure outside of, you know, a discretionary project approval would be allowable in the zoning district if it was by right. And there's about, you know, 10,000 square feet already on the ground, so you're doubling that. You know, and thinking of the school in addition or in part of all of the other CEQA concerns, we just felt that the building alone wasn't substantial in the fact that it increased any significant impacts in relation to environmental impacts with CEQA. So going through, you know, the Appendix G guideline, we had to think, okay, how is this 23,000 square foot building going to impact, you know, air quality, greenhouse gas emissions, et cetera, right, through the guidelines. And we couldn't really determine that, you know, the building itself and that square footage increase itself would increase in impact too significant from our analysis.
Okay, so let's say you sold me on mm-hmm. your wonky assessment mm-hmm. of being non-substantial.
Mm-hmm.
The increase of traffic, and we're talking about the potential, mm-hmm. not the existing. I get that.
Correct.
If we're bumping it up to a potential
mm-hmm.
of 160 trips, and if I remember right, that would be essentially 320 mm-hmm. in a day, Monday through Thursday. While I concur that in the assessment for potential GHGs, blah, 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 whatever the greatest acronym is of the day, mm-hmm. as far as public health and safety and flow of traffic, what was staff's reasoning that that was not substantial? Not saying that it was substantial enough to trigger an environmental issue in regards to CEQA, but not substantial enough to warrant the applicant from presenting us with a updated plan, site plan, flow of traffic, additional roads for potential drive-through, fire escape, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have that in front of us?
We utilized the traffic impact study, and so, you know, from the information in there, there wasn't anything that was raised, so staff didn't necessarily look further into that. But I think for any potential project modifications related to traffic, I just want to note, we do have Nick Trover, the project manager, on there. He might be able to answer those questions better.
Verbally, they may be answered, but the concern I have is there have been 7 CUPs since I've been on here that have been CUPs that replaced existing CUPs, all with either quarries, batch plants, etc. There have been changes to existing CUPs, and every time that we have seen a change to an existing CUP or a new CUP to replace an old one, we have always had a site plan that laid out what the new plan was. And I have a problem not seeing that in front of me here today.
Right. Understood.
Through the chair, can I make a comment?
Yes, please.
This proposed building, when it becomes a reality, you have to get a permit, right?
Correct, yeah.
Not only a construction permit, but all the other things have to be addressed. Ingress, egress, traffic studies, all these things, correct? So right now, what we're talking about is an existing thing. With the 23,000 foot addition, that is a separate, in my opinion, it is a separate thing that can be brought, has to be brought before this commission for approval. And is that not correct? It has to go through you and brought to us.
Correct. And
Those things have to be mitigated. Traffic, turnaround, fire flow, etc. Yes?
Right. And at the time, you know, when we circulated this project, Public Works, right, which typically will provide comment on those issues related to traffic and circulation, did not have any, you know, proposed project modifications, even with the square footage increase. And we can always, you know, follow up with them again at the building permit process, because we do that.
Because we had an issue out on 97 a few years ago with a church, and they ended up putting a turn lane in because they wanted that project, the state being, and Caltrans was here, and I'm hoping fellow commissioners remember this, and they said, you can't do that because blah, blah, blah. Well, then they backed off and put in turn lanes for that church. So that was a separate thing, but that the same thing can happen there if it has to. Because one person said, you know, the county, the growth in the county is going downhill, and that's true.
So what you're saying, that satisfies Jeff's concern?
Well, I think, I don't know if it satisfies his concerns, but right now we're talking about this, and the proposed building is a separate issue in my book. And everything, when they apply for that permit to build that building, all these other things have to be mitigated.
My concern is we have an application for a use permit in front of us, and I'm treating it, I treat all use permits equally. And when we get a use permit for an activity, whether it's a bed and breakfast, a batch plant, a quarry, a school, a church, we always have associated with that use permit a site plan that shows a general layout of, hey, this is how things are going to flow. This is where buildings, structures, generators are going to be. This is the ingress, egress, because then I can look at that site plan and in my mind, I can genuinely assess, A, is it compatible? B, does it prevent or does it present a potential risk to the cell? That's not a site plan. That's simply a geo map.
Is it this?
No. That's what I have. But I mean, with the batch plant, we see where the crusher is, where the generator is. If it's a telecommunication site, where the tower is, the generator, the fuel, because we have neighbors. This is in a residential area, and so I feel I need to take into consideration potential risk, compatibility with neighbors. And I don't have that in front of me.
Okay. Can you get that? Commissioner Fowle, do you have more questions?
I will be patient for the moment.
Okay. Commissioner Mello, do you have questions?
Yeah, a couple of things. This is just somebody from the audience. You don't have to come up to the mic. How long are the recesses at the charter school? About,
well, we have two recesses each day. The first one's about 15 to 20 minutes, and the second one is about 30 minutes.
Okay, so you got, we'll say 45 minutes that they're outside.
Yeah.
Each day, 4 days a week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Construction noise. If anybody can figure out how to pound a nail without making noise, please stand up. Thank you.
Most of us don't pound them anymore. They have.
I know. They have.
Anything that's called a pneumatic.
I know what they're called. But they're just noises and a hammer. Okay. Thank you. There's a fire district station within a mile, and I'm being generous with the distance. So, you know, that's a good thing. CDR, CAL FIRE has to make the comments. I don't know where the fire district boundaries are, but I know where the station is. Uh, 215 students at Mount Shasta Elementary School District.
Not the district, just the, that one site that she was referring to. We have 516 total.
Thank you.
Is that elementary?
Yeah,
yes.
K through 8. So Sisson and Mount Shasta Elementary.
At this time, that is all the comments I have.
Okay.
How long would it take, what would it take for the school of Golden Eagle to add to this site? It does say site plan. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. To just add the conditions that Jeff wanted to this existing. So they wouldn't have to go through and reinvent a whole new. What I'm trying to do is now they put a lot more cost into it.
But time-wise, it would not be much of an issue. However, they haven't reviewed as we, you know, develop, design it, propose it, and have review and approval by the planning commission and inside comment would involve them with that.
Okay. Commissioner Hart, do you have questions?
Well, I got a question, staff. Why was or wasn't a zone change considered?
Because schools are allowable use under the zoning district, neighborhood commercial, and single family residential. So those are the existing zoning districts on the lot, and a school is an allowable use via a CUP.
Okay, so it's neighborhood commercial?
So that's why what I'm asking is why aren't we doing a zone change where we wouldn't be doing all of this? Change it from what it is right now, which is zone to CU, and change it to CC, where you can put a school in, you don't need a use permit. I'm just asking a legal question.
Well, I mean, you know, the current uses of both neighborhood commercial and res one also allow other, you know, compatible uses. So it would lend to similar uses being proposed or developed on that site, you know, should Golden Eagle go somewhere else or something like that. And those uses are, you know, the zones have been longstanding on that lot.
Well, I know it's been longstanding, but that's what I'm asking you is, you could change it to CC, where all of this process about whether a school should be there or not with the use permit, under CC, you don't need a use permit.
Correct. And it, correct. It would still be a discretionary action for you all, but.
Right. But it's just one of those where, okay, what, let's just say we turn this whole thing down, then what comes next? What comes after that? What else can go in on that side of that property? What are the bad things that can go in on that?
Gosh, let me give me a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So under, I'll start with neighborhood commercial. Mm-hmm. Under neighborhood commercial, the uses permitted, so the uses outright include automobile service stations, car washes, repair garages, towing services, provided all operations except servicing with petroleum products and confined within a building, professional offices, convenience stores, laundry facilities, retail nurseries, copying and printing establishments, multiple dwellings, apartment houses, dwelling groups, rooming houses, and boarding houses. Accessory uses in buildings normally incidental to any of the permitted or conditionally permitted uses. Beauty salon and barbershops, and on and off sale liquor establishments. For conditional uses permitted, so ones that would still need a CUP but are allowable within this district, include single family dwellings, duplexes, triplexes, social halls, lodges, fraternal organizations and clubs, churches, libraries, parks, playgrounds, public utility buildings, health clubs, group care facilities, theaters, sales of motor vehicles, convalescent care facilities, and family day and care facilities, and then also additionally the uses outlined in Article 15. And then for Res 1, the uses outright are a single family dwelling, accessory buildings with a single family dwelling, one guest house, one residential storage building, and group care facilities, the keeping of domesticated livestock and horses subject to regulations set forth in section 10-61519. And then for conditional uses permitted, churches, schools, parks, playgrounds, public utility, and public buildings and uses, family day and care facilities, home occupations, educational services, and then the uses outlined in Article 15. Did you want me to highlight
those? Basically, with the way it's zoned right now, you go in there and put in a strip mall and go to work, and they don't need to come to us to get a permit one to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of one of those, that's probably not appropriate in that setting. I drive by there at least 20 times a month, at least 20. I know the site pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't choose your neighbors and you can't choose your relatives. Period. What do you want in there next to you? What can you live with? What can't you live with? And how do we move this process forward legally?
Mm-hmm.
Are all the bases covered environmentally? And if they're operating right now without the proper permit, do we cease operations and start from square one? That's my question.
Bill Carroll, County Council. Usually with code enforcement cases, if people come in and try to fix what's going on, we allow what's ever happening to continue, and that would be the case here. So it would be our standard practice to let the property owner fix the problem, and they're here now. So
that's what they're doing. They're fixing the problem. Thank you.
Yeah, it's my intention when looking at this is to go along with the recommendation of the Planning Committee. And what I'd like is, if that's the recommendation, if we all think that we'd like to go along with the recommendation of the Planning Commission, try to facilitate what we can to move it forward without undue hardship on the applicant. if it is something we don't want to do, then we can throw all the roadblocks in there we can, right? I mean, that's what
we're I'm not there to throw roadblocks. I'm just want to make sure that the county
is. Yeah, and I'm not trying to throw a roadblock in here. Number one, we're quasi-judicial. Is it legal? Is it not? Does it meet the code? Does it meet the ordinance? Does it meet CEQA? And the way we handle the projects is important, because if we treat this one differently, for whatever reason, than we have treated other CUPs, it potentially places the county in jeopardy and the applicant. And I do not want the applicant, due to an oversight on us or staff, to put them in jeopardy, likewise in turn putting the county in jeopardy.
But don't you think they've gone through that?
This is not being handled the same as other CUPs, and that's why I raised my concern.
Well, Mrs. March, okay.
Through the chair.
Yes. You're on a short lease, Commissioner.
Is there some verbiage that we can put in the motion to move this forward and keep the concerns of Commissioner Fowle in the mix?
Perhaps we could add some language of some ingress and egress improvements to the satisfaction of the Public Works Department. I mean, they're the ones that, you know, it would be off WA Bar Road, which is County Road. They would have say in the ingress and egress off that road and the encroachment anyways, or they will anyways, right?
Because I'm going back to this Highway 97 thing.
Mm-hmm.
When they got the permit to build the church,
mm-hmm.
it was after the fact, if I remember, that the Caltrans came up with this traffic study.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Commissioner Fowle remembers this, and Commissioner Hart. So I'm just curious if there's some, like I said, some verbiage that will address the concerns of
mm-hmm.
the commission and yet allow the project to move forward. Because I go back to the statement, the 23,000 square foot building is going to be on its own. It's going to have to be permitted, and it's going to have to, all the concerns are going to have to be mitigated.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic, parking, fire, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you increase the number of people on site, then you have a whole new issue.
So let me go to
yeah,
do we need to?
Just a comment. Potentially address Commissioner Fowle's question. On site map exhibit to the end of the packet.
After the public comment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hang on. Let me mark this page here because I was going through the conditions.
Do you want a hard copy, Joe?
I don't know if this is to the degree that you would prefer, but the site map does indicate the location of the building on the south end of the property.
Very last page.
No, I see it.
If that would,
I don't know what page
you said in stone.
Very last.
So I guess my
of the staff.
It was brought up by one of the last commenters.
Of the staff report,
it's
on the last page.
A concern I had when I first read this.
Mm-hmm. The staff report. Yes.
We have one ingress egress currently in existence off of
Bar Road.
Bar Road.
Yeah.
Now, they may only have, 60 students there at the moment. On your average daily attendance is probably 52 to 53, plus 8 staff currently there. Okay,
yeah.
So you're dealing currently 1.5, I'll be mean, 40 vehicle traps or trips in the morning, 40 in the afternoon. So you're dealing with 80 a day currently, probably, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably.
So 80 going in and out of the one ingress egress in its current layout is doable, livable. Catastrophic potential fire, not going to be a big deal. You bump 80 to a potential of 300, that one ingress egress, in my view, will not cut it. And that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that potential escape route, etc., to channel traffic through in an organized fashion
mm-hmm.
for the safety of the students and the staff is not on this site plan.
Mm-hmm.
I agree it could be easily put in, but this is our one bite at the apple to make sure that it is on the map so that we are not liable.
Yep. Okay, well, that's why I asked the question, you know, can we address your concern in the motion? And that has to be addressed prior to the permit being issued or whatever.
Yeah, so are you saying like approve the conditional use permit but not the expansion of the building? Is that what you're saying?
No, just say conditional use permit and share the concern of ingress egress that Commissioner filed.
It's more of a concern. I want it written. That's why I was going back to the conditions.
Well, that's why I'm saying.
Yeah, they certainly, I would agree. I would like to see.
I would like to see that too.
Two,
but I would like to move this forward too.
So take a 5-minute recess.
Yeah.
Let me go through these conditions again and see if I can come up with a solution.
Okay, we're going to break. Let's actually break, so it's almost 11. Let's reconvene at like 11:10. We'll give it a few extra minutes.
Okay.